Before we take off with this episode, I want to introduce you to an audio drama that has caught my attention lately. Rex Riveter Private Eye is a smart and well-produced series which provides the perfect tribute to the old-time radio detective noir genre. Of course, that's part of our show as well, but nobody does it better than Rex Riveter Private Eye.
I got a little office on 3rd and Grand, above the delicatessen. Down the hall is a mail-order Bible salesman, a Chinese dentist, and a shyster lawyer that's always stopping me on the street asking if I can pass him a client or two, and promising he'll make it worth my while. Over the years, there have been a few times I've been tempted to take him up on his offer. My office isn't much, but I'm my own boss, and I make my own hours. Usually.
Good morning, Mr. Riveter. Getting in a little late this morning, aren't we?
Who's running this place, Jenny? You or me?
Oh, well, the jury's still out. But when you show up 10:30, somebody has to hold back the throng of adoring admirers.
Forget the fans. What we need are clients. Otherwise, I won't be able to pay your exorbitant wages.
Wait, you're supposed to be paying me? All this time, who knew? Well, then maybe you should step into your office. United Service just dropped off a parcel.
Jenny was right. There is a package waiting. She has the kind of figure that leaves a man dizzy and short of breath. She's standing at the window when I walk in, gazing out across the street watching a trolley car pass by. She turns to look at me with oversized cobalt peepers and a face fresh from the farm. She's been crying.
You must be Mr. Riveter, is that right?
That's right.
Mr. Riveter, my husband is missing. I would like you to find him.
Well, Mrs.
Look for the links in the show notes. You'll thank me later. In this, the 6th episode of our 2nd season, we meet another important figure from the history of Roswell. The Rocket Man himself. Robert Goddard is now part of our intergalactic audio drama, which we call Roswell B.C. Before the Crash.
Well, things just got interesting. Again. We had been able to stay close to Orb as he was trying to elude the Metsi's ship chasing him. And when Dar took Rafe's faulty advice to go on to the present and wait for Orb there, Orb made another time turn a dozen years short of the present.
And it just happened to be the very day of this planet's launch of the first rocket to break the sound barrier. A rocket built by a Roswell resident named Robert Goddard. When that rocket passed our ship as we were trailing Orb, it threw us off course just enough to cause us to ask directions from someone we thought was just out watching for birds.
And that bird watcher turned out to be far more dangerous than we could have imagined.
As she forced us to help her find what she was looking for.
That's far enough. Little man.
All right.
We can see what we need to see from here, and then you and your two friends will do what I need you to do.
Whatever you're trying to do, we want no part of it.
I don't believe you have a choice. I am the one in control here. Not only do I have my gun, but now I have yours as well. Very interesting weapons there. Yeah, I've never seen anything quite like them.
That's because we're not from around here.
Nor am I, but I know there's something different about you.
We just want to find my brother.
Ah, yes, your little brother. What is his name?
His name is Orb.
Orb? Really, that's an odd name for an American.
It's short for Orb, Basin.
Well, you might still find us Orbson, but not before you run a little errand for me.
What kind of errand?
What kind of errand? Well, little man, you remember the thing which went up and came back down again? The thing I was watching when you interrupted me.
You mean the thing that made a loud sound?
Yes. So, you heard it. Very good. Now, if you can find what you heard, I will be very happy.
Well, according to my calculations, it should be somewhere over there.
According to your calculations? Little man, you must be smarter than you look.
I've heard that before.
Well, why don't you calculate exactly where it is?
Are we talking about Orb's ship?
Ship. Did you say this Orbison sailed here on a ship? I see no water for many miles.
I'm sorry. That's just a game my brother and I like to play. We call our cars ships.
Really? That is a strange game. But I'm getting tired of talking about your brother. So, little man, what do your calculations say now?
It shouldn't be very far in that direction.
Very good. So, that is the direction we walk. I walk beside you, little man.
And walk we did. This lady obviously wanted to find Goddard's rocket, which had knocked us off course.
Why she wanted it, we had no idea at the time. But the gun pointed at our backs gave us no other choice but to go along with whatever mission she was on.
We didn't know it at the time, but Orb's new friends were now part of a very similar mission, also on the wrong side of a gun. They had watched Goddard go inside the little building just before Orb got there.
Now, you will go up to the building and call for your friend.
I told you, he's not our friend.
Whatever, friend or no friend, you call him and he comes out of the building.
But why would we do that? Don't you want us to steal those plans?
Yeah, and that is exactly what you will do after I shoot your friend.
Boss? He says he's gonna shoot our friend.
Grud! He's not our friend! He stole from us! Remember?
Yeah, but I don't think he meant to. It was a mistake.
Well, he won't be stealing from anyone. Ever again.
But do you have to shoot him?
I do, because when I shoot him, Mr. Goddard will come out to check on him. When he does, one of you will stay behind with him while the other goes into the building and steals the plans.
Which one do I do?
We'll figure it out. Grud, let's go.
And one more thing.
What?
If either of you don't do exactly what I said, I will put a bullet in your head.
He said it again, boss. He's gonna put a bullet in.
I heard him, Grud. I told you to stop repeating everything, didn't I? Didn't I?
You sure did, boss.
Listen, if we just do what he says, we have nothing to worry about.
Boss?
Yeah?
I really don't want a bullet in my head.
Grud, shut up!
So those two were on their way to steal the plans from Robert Goddard's little building, while we were searching for the rocket made from those plans.
While we searched, I couldn't help but wonder what Orb was doing. I could still see the worry in Mila's eyes, worry I wanted to do something about, but couldn't.
In the meantime, Orb had already made his way to that little building and was about to meet Goddard himself.
I hope I won't regret leaving those two alone. Oh well, here's the place. Hello? Sir?
What? Oh, my. I wasn't expecting to see anyone out here.
I'm sorry. I think I'm a little lost. Which way is Roswell?
Oh, it's that way. To the southeast.
Thanks.
Wait. Before you go, may I ask you a question?
Of course.
Did you hear anything unusual a few minutes ago?
Unusual? Like what?
Like a sound. A very, very loud sound.
Actually, I did. I was walking up here when I heard it.
Do you have any idea how important that sound was?
No, I don't.
That was the sound of the first rocket to break the sound barrier.
Is that right? How interesting.
Well, how interesting indeed. It lifted up to what had to be 1,000 feet. Then it leveled out, and it roared across the prairie faster than any rocket before it. And that sound! Could you believe it? Have you ever heard anything like it?
No. Not on this planet.
What?
Oh, I mean, there's never been anything on Earth like it.
This is the next step in what I've been dreaming about since I was a boy.
Dreaming about what?
Well, I can remember it like it was yesterday. I climbed a very tall cherry tree at the back of our barn. I was supposed to be there to cut dead branches, but instead I couldn't stop looking up at the sky. What if there was a way? There just had to be a way to ascend to the moon or to Mars. Haven't you ever asked that?
No, I can't say that I have.
Well, I did. And right then I had the idea that a weight whirling around a horizontal shaft, moving more rapidly above than below, just might furnish a lift, because the greater centrifugal force would be at the top.
I see.
Do you?
No, but I do think you're right.
You think I'm right? Well, for more than 20 years now, I've been building rockets that have done just that. We haven't reached beyond Earth's atmosphere yet, but we will, and the sound you heard today gets us a little closer. After all, every vision is a joke until the first man accomplishes it. But once it's realized, it becomes commonplace.
Sure. Well, hey, thanks for the directions. I'd better head to Roswell now.
Are you on foot? Well, stay for a bit. I'll drive you to town myself.
Hey, we need to talk.
You're not alone.
No, just a couple friends. Let me see what they want.
I thought I told you guys to wait for me.
Yeah, but this is real important.
All right, what is it?
Boss?
What?
Boss, I can't do this.
You can't do what?
Get down!
Rod, what are you doing?
I couldn't let him get shot.
Well, that guy's gonna shoot again real quick, so we'd all better get inside.
Who was that?
Oh, just some guy we met.
He said he'd shoot us in the head if we didn't come down here and get you to come out where he could shoot you.
Why does he want to shoot me?
Because he wanted to get Mr. Goddard here out of the building long enough for one of us to steal the plans for that rocket.
Grud, I told you to shut up, didn't I? Didn't I?
Steal my plans? Was this man from Germany?
I don't know where he was from, but he talked kind of funny. Like, I will put a bullet in your head.
Gustav Gulich. I should have known he'd be watching today.
Oh, he'll be doing a lot more than watching. Do you have any guns around here so we can defend ourselves?
No, but I've got something much better.
Are you going to launch one of your rockets at him?
No, but if he wants some plans, let's give him some plans.
And give away your life's work?
Oh, I'm not. The plans your friends are going to take to him are from another experiment. One that failed. That should satisfy him for a while. And it's only a matter of time before their scientists catch up, but this should slow them down for a bit.
But if we go back outside, he'll shoot us in the head.
Not if he thinks you tied us both up and stole the plans like he told you to.
Boss? What do you think?
It might work. Give me those plans. I'll wave them as we go out the door.
All right. I'll stay here long enough for you to get rid of this Gustav guy. Then I'll meet you back at the car.
Yeah, but we don't have no car. We came in a...
Rod!
But I thought you were on foot.
We are. Our car broke down and we've been trying to fix it.
Yeah, that's right. Our car broke down and we've been trying to fix it.
Enough chit-chat. Let's go. We got it. Don't shoot.
Yeah, don't shoot.
Then bring it to me.
All right. We're coming.
Boss?
What now?
What's a car?
As we were trying to find where Goddard's rocket had landed, we heard the shot that was meant for Orb.
It was one of those moments when you just have to make a split-second decision. For some reason, I think it's that kind of situation that brings out both the masculine and feminine side in a person. I know it did with me.
Anyway, our captor looked away just long enough for me to reach into my pocket for the IBC, or instant barrier creator I had used to keep Billy and his men from following us. She had taken all our weapons, or at least she thought she had, but the IBC doesn't look like a weapon, and it can certainly come in handy at a time like this.
Well, there it is. Your calculations were correct, little man.
It was pretty simple. A rocket this size, falling at that angle, had to be not very far from this spot.
Well, perhaps meeting you was meant to be.
Did you hear that?
Yes. Orb may be in danger.
All right. We can't wait any longer.
What are you doing?
Don't worry. This won't hurt.
But this will.
You might want to stop firing that gun. Those bullets are going to bounce right off that thing.
Wait a minute. How are you doing this? There's a wall, but I can see through it.
That's the idea.
Listen, we don't want to hurt you. We just need to find her brother. We helped you find this, but that's as far as we go.
Ryan, she has our weapons.
Our other weapons.
Yes, she does. Listen, I'm going to raise this barrier just enough for you to slip our guns underneath it. If you do it, then I'll take the barrier away.
And if I don't...
Well, he could set the time on that thing for several days.
Several days? Well, you give me no choice. Here...
That's good. Now, once we're far enough away, I'll turn it off.
Well, you can turn it on or off whenever you like, from wherever you like. This interests me. I want to know more.
I think you've got more than enough to take back to whoever you report to.
Yeah, good luck hauling that thing off.
Well, if only you could stay and help me, little man. You seem to know a lot about rockets. Hmm?
More than you can imagine. More than you can imagine.
All right. I promise we won't leave you inside there. But I'm sure you understand why we can't trust you.
I don't blame you. You have mission just like I have mission. This rocket will make my... employers very happy. So, I thank you for your help. Especially you, little man. By the way, what is your name?
Tulip. Yours?
Olga. My name is Olga. Don't forget it, because I very much hope to meet you again someday. Perhaps you will come to Russia to visit me.
Right. Well, Ryan, let's go find Orb.
Goodbye, Tulip. Goodbye, little man.
Come on! He may be hurt!
Well, little man, it looks like you have an admirer here on this planet.
Yeah, as if I'll ever meet her again.
So we left our captor and made our way toward the gunshot. It wasn't a great distance, but on foot, it took longer than we had hoped.
I couldn't help but occasionally glance over at Neela, and each time the concern in her face grew stronger. We didn't speak it out loud, but she knew as well as I did that Orb could have been on the wrong side of that bullet. In fact,
this whole thing was new to all of us. Going in and out of time periods while trying to chase someone down was not exactly our typical case. And of course, there was the greater danger sitting back home in my office. It turns out that Eddie was busy putting her own plan into action.
Well, well, Mr. Lieber! I am so happy to see you. How are you feeling, sir?
Better, now that I'm out of the sphere.
Yes, Eddie, Lieber has been in the sphere for a while. But I've explained to him that I was wrong to put him there.
Yes, you were.
I agree.
I told him that I'm concerned about our children. Neela and Orb are so special, and I love them so much. And now they're in trouble, so I needed Lieber to help us.
Yes, she did tell me all that, but she also said you have a message for me from Ryan. Is that correct?
Yes, an urgent message. Ryan, Mr. Ryan, wanted me to ask for your help.
If it will help put Neela and Orb back together, I'll be happy to do whatever I can.
That's interesting. I remember Mr. Ryan telling you something about putting them back together again after you said they broke the mold. I'm not very good at figures of speech. Mr. Ryan can tell you that. But I do remember that conversation. What did you mean about them breaking a mold?
Breaking a mold can mean a lot of things. I think you'd better ask Ryan that question. He seemed to understand what I was saying.
Well, I would ask him, but I'm afraid I haven't been able to talk with him for a while.
I thought he said it was urgent for you to ask for my help.
Oh, he did. But that was quite a while ago, I think. I don't know. With all the time travel they've been doing, it's hard to keep up with how much time has passed.
Time travel? You mean the T-squared?
Yes, dear. Orb had it installed on his ship after you went into the sphere.
If they're using the T-squared, they may be in more danger than you know.
But why? All the new ships have it.
I was part of the group who designed it, and I warned them about what might happen.
What is it, Lieber? Why is it dangerous?
I don't know why it would be dangerous. Of course, I don't understand these things.
No one does. We didn't have enough information about what happens to someone who goes back in time and then comes back to the present. I told them we should put the project on hold, but the Metzies insisted that we finish it.
The Metzies? They think they know everything.
The engineers even kept the problem secret from their grand leader. If something goes wrong with the T-squared, I'm afraid he'll be more than upset.
Yes, I'm sure he would be. Well, Mr. Lieber, thank you for coming. The next time I speak with Mr. Ryan, I'll tell him you're willing to help.
Thank you, Eddie. Timbus, are we going home? Or back to the sphere?
You're going home with me, dear.
No more sphere for you, Mr. Lieber. If you don't mind, can I speak with your wife alone for a moment?
Of course. I'll be outside.
All right. There is something about a mold. I thought so. Timbus, can you think of anything he might have been referring to?
A mold? Well, Lieber made Neela and Orb molded figurines when they were younger. But how could that...
That could be it. Where are they?
Well, right after Neela left to go find Orb, I sold them.
You sold them?
Yes. They were made from some very valuable materials and had some advanced technology. You know Lieber, he doesn't do anything second rate.
And you knew they would bring a high price.
Yes, but I didn't know they were so important.
Whoever bought them probably sold them on the galaxy's black market. They could have changed hands a few times and be several planets away by now.
I'm sorry.
You should be. Those figurines could be the key to everything. Go. I can't look at you right now.
So Eddie was running into a major roadblock. A roadblock put into place by Timbus's costly mistake.
Two molded figurines made with purpose by a loving father, made specifically to give his children the information they needed to stay out of the control of the Metsis.
Two molded figurines, which could now be a galaxy away.
Say, boss?
What is it now?
Well, I've been thinking about that package.
What about it?
I was looking inside, and you know what I thought?
I can't imagine.
I thought how weird it was that one of those two little dolls or whatever they are looks just like our friend.
I told you he's not our friend, didn't I? Didn't I?
Roswell, BC comes to you straight from Roswell, New Mexico. Many of the voices you will hear in this series are Roswell residents. This episode of Roswell, BC is entitled The Rocket Man and features the voices of Kyle Bullock as Ryan, Devin Bullock as Neela, Lynetta Zuber as Eddie, Tony Souza as Tolop, Jill Bailey as the feminine Ryan, Robin Haynes as Orb, Michael Sweeney as Robert Goddard, Georgiana Simoes as Timbus, Will Cass as Lieber, Scott Phillips as Boss, Austin Beach as Grud, Sarah Golding as Olga, and Mike Jansen as Gustav. Scott, Austin, and Mike are from Audio Oblivious Productions, an audio drama production house in Kentucky. The voice of Sarah Golding comes to us from across the pond in England. The Roswell, BC theme music was composed and recorded by Brian Hunley. The artwork for our podcast cover and posters is the creation of Logan Pack. Some of the special audio effects heard in this series are courtesy of Reliquwood Media. Roswell, BC was created, written, directed, and produced by yours truly, Boyd Barrett. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Overcast, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio, and please leave us a great review while you're there. You can also visit our website at roswellbc.com. The story is headed your way.